Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
For those of you who might be unfamiliar, for the previous 3 weeks, we've been immersed in this sermon series that I've called Signs. And science has caused us to sojourn through Advent expectant. We learned that in a season of signs, God labors to communicate to us through various forms and mediums. And through the first week, through the beginning journey of the Magi from the east and traveling, they saw in the sky what everybody saw. It was a star, and everybody knew it was a star, but because they involved themselves in the word, they saw what was happening in the world. And they saw the star as a sign. And those magi teach us that God oftentimes uses common things to send us crucial signs. And there are crucial signs in common spaces. That the signs are always there. It's not that the signs aren't visible, it's just oftentimes we're not all that vigilant. That was week one, and our call to look out, to be mindful of the ways that God uses our everyday world and spaces to speak to us. And then week two, we canvassed the encounter that Mary had with Elizabeth, that rather than to look out, they looked in and understood that they were signs unto themselves. They were signs to one another, that unlike the Magi, they weren't looking for a something, but the sign took place in the someone. And Mary and Elizabeth teach us that as long as you show up like Mary did and you speak up like Elizabeth did, physical encounters have ways of stirring spiritual experiences. Outward encounters have ways of stirring inward experiences. We learned that. Not only to look out, but to look in. And then last week, to look lower. The shepherds teach us what it means to assume a posture, to stoop, because God did. That's the way of God, and as long as we're willing to stoop sacrificially, we end up seeing the holy happen. To look a little bit lower, for those who don't have enough strength or pride to look up, God descended from a high place to a low place to show us that everyone is included, that there's nobody below God's dignity. And this morning, in the fourth week of our sermon series that takes us through Christmas and up into Epiphany, we learn the significant yet dirty work of looking back. Not just to look out, not to look in, not to look lower, but to look back. And oftentimes as the people who make resolutions, we're taught, don't look back, the past is in the past. Today is today, look forward tomorrow. But I think there's some significance in pondering our history to see that God's not only there, but redemptively uses broken pieces of our past to propel us through the present. And we learn that as we canvass this text this morning in this sermon series called Signs. I want to bring you to the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. You'll find it on the screens, but for the sake of clarity, I've noted it in your bulletin so that you can find it in your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 2, starting in the 13th verse and moving to verse 23. Matthew chapter 2, starting in the 13th verse, hear these words. Now after they, at this point meaning the wise men, the magi, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. Not for an allotted period of time, not for this or that, but until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. More on that next week. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. And when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt again and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream again, he went away to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God, brothers and sisters, and as the people of God, we say.
Thanks be to God.
I use this as a subject in this Signs sermon series in the fourth week. Look back. Don't just look out. Don't just look in to be a sign yourself, though it's important. Look lower, yes, but also look back. Let's pray. Gracious God, I know that what we're about to receive has no calorie of power unless you're a part of it. We understand, Almighty God, as it's been proclaimed week after week, that you do the significant in the small. And in the smallness of life, Almighty God, we oftentimes discount the grand opportunity and place we have in your kingdom's work. We're a people who yearn for signs. We need some confirmation. And so I'm asking for the movement of your Holy Spirit to envelop this place this morning, Almighty God. As the word's been read, may the word of God be received. May it meet us in our own particular time and context. May you change us with this word. May you challenge us with this word. May you convict us if necessary. But more importantly, may you transform us in being the kind of people that you'll have us to be, lights that shine in the world to show ourselves even and our neighbors that indeed you've come not only to reach but to redeem. Have your way, great God that you are. We thank you ahead of time for what you're doing and what you're about to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we know about Nazareth. We know the scandal that took place when a servant girl named Mary said yes to God. We've heard the whispers in the community about a so-called relationship, a couple betrothed to be married that's about to crumble. We know about that. We know Joseph was getting close to jetting. That he wasn't sure if he was going to be a part of this family, to be a part of what Mary proclaimed God was doing. We know that Joseph was close to leaving, and we're aware of the dream that he had that convinced him to stay. We beheld Bethlehem and the burden of travel, if you want to place it as a transparency, about on foot or on an animal from here to Cambridge, heavy with child, about to give birth. Could you imagine the burden? Nothing was going right. Not only did they have the burden of travel, but we're privy to the fact that they had no place. And we learn that the holy happened without a home. And we've seen the shepherds and we've heard their shouts and Mary and Joseph struggle to make sense of things. And now this, if they hadn't already been through enough, it's interesting to me, brothers and sisters, God was doing an incredible thing in them and through them, and yet nothing seemed right. Now after all that they had gone through, after all they had experienced, now this, to Egypt. Just when we thought the Christmas couldn't get any more chaotic, we canvass a portion of the text that troubles me. That there's an edict, there's an evil edict to do away with life because somebody got scared and prideful. There was a king who issued a decree that life would be taken, and by virtue of that, the child would have to leave the country and flee to a foreign land. And I'm sure, brothers and sisters, all the Holy Family wanted to do, all a husband and a soon-to-be wife with a baby wanted to do was to go back home where things were familiar and comfortable. And yet, they couldn't arrive at a place where they can pick up the pieces and put life together to move closer together. It just felt like things were moving farther apart. They're moving farther away. And I could hear Mary and Joseph kind of discussing between one another or thinking in their hearts, man, God, I thought that if you were going to do something great in life, my life would feel good. If God was going to do something great in life, then why don't I feel good in life? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a pocket or place of life where you could seem to have faith or trust that God's doing something great or significant, but it doesn't feel like that? In fact, it feels quite the opposite. Not that things are getting better, but that you're moving further away. It happened here. As good Jews, they would have known that Egypt was a place of their ancestry. I'm sure that in looking back, they would have recalled the space where their Hebrew ancestors were oppressed by the Egyptian, and that king offered an evil edict to take away life as it was. They recalled that their ancestors were slaves to the Egyptians, and how it was that they were delivered by the spreading of the blood of a perfect lamb over the doorway, and that God delivered them out of a place of imprisonment to a place of promise. I'm sure that they remembered that, but it wasn't the place they wanted to go to, I'm sure. Understandably so. I imagine all Mary and Joseph could see was the inconvenience of things. All they could see was the inconvenience. Egypt was an inconvenience. They couldn't see the incredible happening. They were visiting a place, look at this. They were visiting a place that they thought was behind them. They were in a place that they thought was part of their past. And it's hard, brothers and sisters, to arrive at a point in life, spiritually or emotionally or physically, to have to revisit a tender, not so flattering part of life. They saw Egypt as an inconvenience. And I could hear them say, God, we really don't want to go there. We really don't want to go to that place in life that I thought was behind me, and now what I thought was in the past is very much a part of my present, and I can't make sense of things. We've had similar conversations. You know, Pastor Jake, I thought that the illness, I thought that the sickness was something that was behind me, but now I'm apprehensive because an appointment's been scheduled, and I don't want to go back there. I don't want to have that kind of conversation because I thought what was behind me is now very much a part of my present. I don't want to step into a new year because the new year just reminds me of the old year, and the old year was lousy. I really don't want to go there. What about you? Let this word of God speak to you and reach you in a way where you understand it's rich and relevant. They were in a place they didn't necessarily want to be. It was part of their past. They had gone there before in their history and wanted to leave it there. And all they wanted to do was to move forward, but it just feels like they were going back. You ever find yourself on the cusp of a brand new year wanting to move forward and feeling like you're taking steps back? It happens here in this Christmas story. For them, Egypt was an inconvenience. But could it be, brothers and sisters, and this is one of the points that kind of drove home with me as I studied in the past couple of weeks. Egypt was certainly an inconvenience, but could it be, brothers and sisters, that God uses the less than convenient to show us that God is more than enough? That God uses the less than convenient to show us that God is more than enough. That God could take something out of the past and redemptively use it to propel you into something better. To propel us through the present. That God could redemptively use the past brokenness, the past oppression, to prepare you for something greater that you just cannot see. But it's important that you take God into it. That you take God into those places. That's what Mary and Joseph did. They essentially took Jesus into a place of the past. And in doing so, God was able to work things together in such a way to give them the broader message that they only understood until they looked back. Could it be, brothers and sisters, in our lives that God uses the less than convenient to show us that God is more than enough? That we can be in spaces in life that are less than convenient to show us that our faith is sufficient, that God's grace is sufficient, can restore us and renew us, even when we revisit places of the past that aren't so flattering. God could take the divorce that's less than convenient and show that God's more than enough. That God can take the diagnosis that's less than convenient and show that God's more than enough. That God can take the layoff that you didn't want to revisit, that you didn't want to think could be ever a part of your present again. Could take that less than convenient space and show you that God is more than enough. Could take the loss that's less than convenient to show you that in your faith, as you trust and bring God into those situations, that God is more than enough. They couldn't see that sojourning to that place of the past, revisit that space, was a sign. Was a sign that pointed to something greater. Not so much in the recollection of what God did back there in Egypt, but upon bringing God into that situation, what God was prepared to do. They went to a place where they remembered the sacrifice of the lamb and the blood spread over the door that would deliver the people. They just didn't know that they were carrying the lamb there once again to fulfill the prophecy that out of Egypt I shall call my son. God seems to work things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to God's purpose, a plan. In the places that we oftentimes reside in, God can use, even though they're less than convenient. God indeed uses the less than convenient to show that God's more than enough. In other words, to put it another way, brothers and sisters, on a path of faith, the destination is secondary to the revelation therein. Going to Egypt wasn't the point. The destination wasn't the point. Don't you get it? The destination wasn't the point. It was the revelation of God that happened in the place. And God continued to speak to me. I was kind of in a mess this morning. God continued to speak about points in this message. I didn't have enough time to write it down, but thank goodness I remembered it. The application in this vein is what you're going through isn't the point. What you're going through might be tough. Going to Egypt might be tough. Sojourning there might be significantly troubling. But the destination is secondary to what God will show you in those moments. Secondary to the revelation therein. Remember in the book of Exodus how it was that Moses hated to go back to Egypt, that God called him out of the burning bush to go back into a place of pain in his past. It was less than convenient, but by going into a less than convenient space, Moses was able to see that God was more than enough. That Egypt as a destination wasn't the point. It was what God was going to show them in that place. Brothers and sisters, it was less than convenient for the disciples to be on a boat in the middle of a storm while Jesus was asleep in the stern. It was less than convenient for them to be there, but it showed them that God was more than enough when he stood up out of sleep and calmed them from a thing that they thought was going to kill them, spoke to the wind and waves, and nature obeyed, and they were aghast. Because it wasn't the point that they were on the water. The destination had nothing to do with it. It was the revelation therein. Who is this man that calms even the wind and the waves? As good Jews, the last time we remember someone speaking and nature obeying was in the beginning when God spoke. Who must he be? It was less than convenient for Jesus to go through Samaria and have a sit-down conversation with a woman at the well at noonday. But even those less-than-convenient spaces show those there that God is more than enough. It was less than convenient for Mary and Martha for Jesus to show up 4 days late for the funeral of his friend Lazarus. But it had nothing to do with arriving at Bethany as a destination on time. Bethany as a destination wasn't the point. It was the revelation there that in a less than convenient space, God is more than enough. Mary Magdalene It was less than convenient for her to travel to the tomb of Jesus while it was still dark. But going to the tomb wasn't so much a destination, but a... It was less than convenient for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to travel to the hill country to visit Elizabeth. But arriving there in Ein Kerem wasn't a destination as it was a revelation that in less than convenient spaces, when your life feels like it's turned upside down, that you can feel God moving, but you can't match what you feel in your gut with what you know in your mind. Those spaces have ways of confirming for us that God is in control. Destination secondary to revelation. For God to come flesh wrapped as a baby in Bethlehem to show that nothing is impossible with God, for God to come to a high from a high place to a low place was less than convenient. As a baby was to show that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. It was less than convenient for Mary and Joseph to make that journey to Egypt. But Egypt wasn't so much a destination as it was a revelation that the God you've carried into a painful place in your past can not only take that past, but redemptively use it to propel you into something greater. For the God that you've carried into that space will do even greater things than God did for the Hebrew people, will deliver the people from a much greater oppression. The second Moses. It's less than convenient, but they learned that God was more than enough. Now, friends, it didn't make the trip any less tumultuous or less trying or less troubling or less taxing. That's a reality. They wouldn't see it at the time, and nor do we. We never see things work in time, but we're asked to bring God into those spaces and walk faithfully. They didn't see it, nor do we. It only came in retrospect as they look back. Look out! The Magi say, look in, we learn from Mary and Elizabeth. Look lower, says the shepherds, for in stooping you see the significant. Mary and Joseph went to Egypt, teach us that God's not only present here in Emmanuel, but can take what we thought went awry there and inform how we live now and in the future. Only would they look back, would they see it as a sign of something, no, of someone greater. So I don't know where you might be. I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what your life has been like. But trust that the not-so-flattering places of yesterday, God resides, and sometimes will ask you to revisit those places, not for the purpose of causing you pain, but understanding that that could be the place of your next progress. The less than convenient spaces in life will show you that God is more than enough if you'll have faith enough to take the next step and bring God into those places. You might not see it at the time, but in looking back, it might be a sign unto you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.